laws against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes we don't act as though we're blessed. Sometimes, Lord, we forget the state that we stand in when it comes down to you. And Lord, when we ever do that, we become like the first parts of this psalm, where we question, where we struggle. And Lord, we even tend to get frustrated with you and the lot that we have. Oh, but Father, help us to focus on the bottom part of this psalm. Lord, as the writer writes, I firmly believe what he is saying is that he knows why he has gone far from me. He knows why he is struggling with these battles. And Lord, you are the only solution. So Lord, when it comes down to our countenance and how we appear to others, Lord, the face that we present to the world, Lord, help us to let that face point to you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When I was in managerial training, I went with the manager that I worked with and had worked with for a while. She was one up from me. We were both in this class. And one of the classes that we took is how to, can't remember the exact phrase of it, but how to speak to an employee that looks like they're struggling. You ever have to do that? You're talking to somebody, they don't look like they're having a very good day. How do I approach this? So the lady who was running the seminar, she goes, she called on me, and we had to pair off, and I paired off with my manager. And she goes, all right, now, she put it over the manager. You're going to act like you're having a bad day. She immediately put on her bad day face. I've seen it before. I was terrified of it. Bad day face. She goes, now, Matt, do you see her face? Yes. Do you see her eyes, how upset they look? Yes. Do you see how furrowed her brow is? Yes. Do you see the way her mouth looks? Yes. So what do we say to a fellow employee that looks like this? I smiled. I go, what's up with your face? And while it was funny at the time, it became a running joke between me and that manager and me and that company up until the day I quit. Where the boss would come to me, like I moved around to different bosses, and I would talk to different people who were in on the joke. And they'd come in and they'd slam their stuff down and they'd get to clocking in and they'd just be hurried through and, hey, how are you? And they'd walk real past and you could tell there was something wrong. And every time I'd come up to them and, hey, you know, I just wanted to talk to you. What about? Just want to know what's up with your face. You know, and of course, it would always elicit some kind of laugh for those in the know on the joke. And, you know, we'd be able to cut right through and talk about the things. Now, you couldn't do that to a new employee because they wouldn't get it. It's not funny. You know, people come in, they're having a bad day. What's up with your face? You know, their cat just died that morning or something. What's up with your face? They start crying. It's not good. But, you know, the face that we make tells a lot about us. And I know this is going to sound a lot like the devotion this morning, but the faces that we make, our countenance, says a lot about what's going on inside. Right? Much like a good coffee mug, if it's hot on the inside, it's hot on the outside, isn't it? One of my favorite feelings in the world, a hot ceramic mug. One of my favorite feelings on earth. Whether you like tea, whether you like coffee, whatever, I love a good warm ceramic mug feeling in my hand. It's wonderful. What's inside often comes outside. And sometimes we don't even mean for what's inside to become what's outside, but we don't always get a choice. Have you ever gotten in trouble for something your face did? Oh, I'll do that all the time. Hey, Matt, listen, I want to talk to you about this. Well, I already don't like your attitude. Sorry. Go ahead. I was joking down there at Flat Rock during the sermon. I said, I don't know what I would do if somebody came to me and said, hey, pastor, we're skipping church on Sunday because they're running a good deal on Zenders. That was my joke, because I'd probably be a little angry and confused at the same time, and I'd get in trouble for my face. You know? If we're not connected with the Lord inside, if we are not anchored, as we heard from that conference, if we're not anchored in the Lord, we're going to be movable. And that face of yours will tattle on you. Right? You'll come across people that are supposed to be joyful. They're supposed to be satisfied. They're supposed to be rejoicing. They're children of God. They're saved. But you come up on them and they're grumpy. They're irritated. They're upset. And you ask them, why? What's going on? Nothing. Nothing's wrong. I'm fine. Okay. You just looked upset. I'm not upset. Okay. You have a good day. I'm going to come over here. We tell on ourselves. And as the psalmist is writing here, he was going through some significant problems. And we can try to extrapolate and pull together. But let's face it, we all have problems. We've all got things that dig at us, eat at us, and try to steal our countenance. We get lazy in our facial expressions. We don't hold back. And you know, that's all good and well. But I'll tell you this. If something right's going on the inside, something right's going to happen on the outside. So what is it that we must do? Well, let's look at this last verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. What is going to fix whatever's going on with your countenance? If you're here this morning and you're bugged and you're bothered, and I'll tell you what, sometimes you're going to have a face that reflects mourning. Sometimes you're going to have a face that reflects some frustration. Those things do happen. We can't shut off emotions, but what we can do is center ourselves again. Right? There are moments where we will be afflicted, moments where we will be affected, but how deeply we are affected is a choice that we can make. I can always go to God who is the health of my countenance. I want you to think about somebody you know that has a very healthy countenance. You go to talk to them and they're happy and they're smiling and they're going through the hard times and they're aware of the hard times. They're not blissfully unaware. They're not delusional. They know what they're going through. They know how serious it is, but they still have joy and peace. I want you to think about that face. The only way to have that face is to have a closeness to God. God is the health of that countenance. There was a writer one time, he talked about life and death. And if you get into a position where you are about to die, you could always consider the fact that, you know, if you've had a good life, well, at least you had a good life. And if you haven't had a very good life, well, the good news is it won't be bothering you for very much longer. And he was an atheist, and I go, oh my, what hope that is. What joy that is. That's not even truth. It's a lie that does nothing but discomfort. Oh, but if I have God as the health of my countenance, you know, there's small things that make you smile, right? You know, I think about my kids, Caspian and Goddess, this morning. Mommy opened the report card. You ever have that happen? Your parents were happy that they opened your report card. That was a rare thing for me. Mom opened the report card. We found that something I don't want to use the word struggle, but cursive can be hard when you're his age, and that's what he's writing, and he gets graded on it. He went up a point on his writing. Hey, yeah, that made me smile. Hey, all right. You know, that's a better grade than I got. I smiled even more. Got up this morning, kids come down, morning, daddy. Oh, my heart explodes, so wonderful. Even when I'm busy and rushing around on a Sunday morning, you know, I move on. Walked in and out of the house getting things ready. We're down a car this morning, so we're kind of shuffling things around. Walked out of the house two or three times. Every time, Melody, bye. Lightens my heart up. But I tell you what, nothing lightens the heart better. Nothing strengthens the countenance better than when I am close to the Lord. And when I've spoken to him, And I'm trusting Him. And I'm relying on Him. And I know the answers will come from Him. I can have a healthy countenance. What is it that the psalmist describes his situation as? Verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Sometimes the emotions and the struggles that we have, they do a really good job of blinding us from reality. You ever have that happen? Blinds you. You know, we develop problems and we become overwhelmed, and it is almost like you are in darkness. You think about boxers, not a big fan of watching the sport, but you think about that when you just get one guy and he's hammering the other guy. And every time you get hit, you know, your eyes close a little bit. You're trying to protect your eyes. You feel like you're in the dark. When those situations are hammering at you, you can feel like you're in the dark. And sometimes you'll just get bitter and frustrated and irritated, and it's hard to see the situation for what it is. We again become distracted from God. What do we need? We need the light of the Lord. We need good, solid information. We need knowledge. What kind of knowledge? What light do we need to see our situation? I need to know that God is there. My friends, God is always there. You might not look at Him. You might not be able to see Him. You might not be able to recognize Him. But I promise you, He's there. What other kind of information do we need to know? I need to know how to act. Aren't you glad you got 66 whole books situated right there to tell you how to act in every situation? Folks, every situation. I have never found one, either happening to me or happening to someone around me, the Bible does not speak about what to do. Sometimes we make it more convoluted than it needs to be, but it is always just as simple as the Bible says. You think about these court cases out there where I don't like my neighbor don't like me, so I sued him, he sued me, I sued him again, he sued me again. We've got 13 lawsuits in between us just fighting back and forth. And you sit there and you can hear the whole list of he did this, then I did this, and he did that, and I did that. And this isn't a real story, stop looking at me like that. But you go back there like that, back and forth, back and forth. What's the real solution? Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about litigious matters. You know what it does? It says, I forgive him. He forgives me. If I've taken anything from him, I restore it, and I restore it more. If he's taken anything from me, I forgive it and give him more. And he is to do the same. Is that not what the Bible says? There we go. We just saved $1 billion in taxpayer money. Right? Oh, you don't understand how complicated it is. No, but God does. But He also understands how complicated we make it. When really, it can be simple. It could be easy. I need that kind of light in my life. I appreciate a friend who can come over to me with some scripture and say, hey, listen, I see that you're having a hard time. And I'd like to read the scripture to you. And I had that happen one time. I was already midway through. I knew what to do. I knew how to fix it. I let him go on. You wonder why I let him go on? Because I love those verses. I'd like to hear what he has to say about this situation. Tell me. That was an encouragement to me. Now, every now and then, I'll let people witness to me, too. I like hearing it. Especially if they won't let me get a word in edgewise. You go ahead, man. I ain't going to interrupt you. Tell me the story of Jesus. I always tell them afterwards, though. You know, that's so wonderful. I do believe that. Lord did save me. The moment they give me the opportunity, I don't want anybody to waste their breath, but you know how some people get when they're giving you the gospel? They just... Yeah, that is a wonderful thing. I am saved. I praise the Lord for it. Thank you for sharing that with me today. You know, listen, we need that light. What else does he say? We need light. What else does he ask for? Send out thy light and thy truth. And thy truth. You ever get into a problem and you're like, that's it, man. I don't know what to do. I'm all beat up. I can't get out of this thing. You know what the truth is? There ain't nothing that can happen to you here on earth God can't get you out of. There's no temptation He hasn't already prepared a way. There is no thing that can happen here on earth where God can't answer it with something better. Oh yeah? What if somebody shoots me and I die? And if you're saved, you go to heaven. Nobody could ever shoot you again. They ain't built a gun that good yet. Right? There's no losing with God. There's no failure with God. I need that truth. And going back to what we deem the light, we need this book. If we are not good and in this book every day, it's going to change your countenance. I know it's hard to believe, but it changes your face. It changes your attitude. It changes your mindset. When I am removed from the Word of God, things are more difficult. And the longer I am away from it, the more difficult it is. The problem is that we've got a weird filter for what is and what isn't difficult. Because I am strong enough to do something, I'm willing to say that it is not that difficult. And I think many of us here, we've gotten into that kind of pickle where we know we can do something, so we're willing to be inconvenienced because we can do something. It's foolish. It's foolish. It's like somebody who carries something very heavy and large just to prove they can when there's a work dolly sitting right there. It's like, you know, it would save your back and help you out. Oh, no, I got this. You know, and then you check in with them in their 40s and their 50s and their back is gone. You know what? You may be able to go through your whole day. You may be able to live a successful life, make some money, put some things in the bank account. You may be able to take grand vacations and do wonderful things. And you may be able to succeed at business. You may be able to have peace at home to some extent. But you could be doing better if you just stopped doing it the hard way and got into the book. Got into the book. Just because we don't feel it doesn't mean there isn't a problem. Like high blood pressure, you don't know you have a problem. You don't feel it. You don't know it until that lifestyle kills you. We need the Word of God. We need the truth that is there. We need to stand on that truth, live by that truth. Not just to adopt it, but make it a part of everything. So when he says, hey, give me some light. Give me the truth. Turn the light on and reveal my condition. Help me with your truth. Help me to understand your word. Help me to see where to plug scripture into this problem, because that's where the rubber really meets the road. I can read my Bible. I could study my Bible. But you also have to get good at seeing the situations in your life and figuring out how to plug those words into your life. Right? Well, this is what the Bible says, and yes, I know all about Saul. I know how Saul got onto the road at Damascus, and this happened. He became Paul, and you know all about it. But if you don't learn the lessons from his life and how to apply it to your life, you've got some wasted potential sitting there on the table. We need to learn that, and the only way to learn it is by practicing. Lord, what does your word say? Well, I'm in this situation. What does the Bible say about this kind of a thing? Well, there's some conflict. This is what the Bible says about conflict. There's some issues with my stewardship. Well, I need to take care of my stewardship. There's some issue with bitterness in my heart. Well, I need to address it the way the Bible. And all of a sudden, we start connecting things together. We go, oh, now I see. Now I see where this fits into the machine of my life. And now I see it's working better because I've applied and lived by these things. I need God's light. I need His truth, or my countenance is going to be all messed up. You ever try to do something and the instructions don't work quite right? Or even better this, have you ever done something and you didn't have the right tools for it? So it just made you frustrated? Again, I was working on the car last night. I got myself an impact drill. Oh, I thought I was so clever. This will work. This will work wonderful. I get it to the house. I set up my air compressor, get everything all put together, snap that together. The fitting on the air compressor wasn't right. Now, what happens if the fitting on the air compressor is not right? Losing air pressure. I go, all right. So I messed with it as best I could. And it, instead of going, it went, I go, close enough. Did the same thing with the impact drill. Fiddled with it for a little bit. Worked. Went down to a I'm like, close enough. That's as close as I'm getting. All right. It is dark. I'm fighting with this thing. I go to put it onto the caliper. Hit the button for the drill. And I'm expecting that bolt to just come right off, just like it does in your dad's garage, Danielle. Just zzz. It did not. I heard from both sides. I got so frustrated, and then because I'm fighting with the thing, and I've got not great light, and I'm messing with a tool I've never used before, I kept setting the thing off while I'm doing it. Bzz, bzz, bzz. Do the whole thing down. You're not using the right tools. You're not using things the right way. You're only going to have frustration. It's never going to work right if you don't use the right stuff. So, of course, your countenance is all messed up. You're doing things the hard way. We shouldn't have to do things the hard way. I shouldn't have to guess at things in my life when the Bible spells them out clearly, even down to my mood and the way that I look, as we're talking about now. We learn from Scripture how to fix it. Well, I've always been a very grumpy person. I've always been a very short-tempered person. I've always been a very irritated person. You know, you can fix that. You can fix that. No, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You ain't a dog. And if you are, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. We don't let pets inside the building. You're a person. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you. Nothing is impossible to change when you've got that configuration going for you. You can. We just need the light and the truth of God. And what is it that he asks? So I got the light, the truth. What then? Let them lead me. Let them bring me. Let them lead me. Let them bring me. You know, I'm really good at saying stuff and not having people listen to me. I've learned I'm really good at that. I do that at work. I'll do that all over the place. I'll say stuff, and as a preacher, there's a certain amount of that that's expected. You know, don't do this. And then people go do it. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not graded by the Lord based on whether or not people listen to me. Be in trouble. Now, if I'm willing to sit here and hear the Word of God, now follow me on this, if I'm willing to hear the Word of God or read the Word of God and see truth that I'm not following, and although I want to follow it, I choose not to, would you agree that there's something messed up about me? There's something wrong. If I see the way out of my situation, and because I am unwilling to go there, I don't do it, there's something bad wrong. Right? Now you think about any building you've ever been in. What do they typically have over the exit sign, over the exit doors? Exit signs. Why? So you know how to get out. The Bible is filled with exit signs and how to get out of our problems. The thing is that those doors look a lot like repentance. Those doors look a lot like you've got to leave your sin behind. Those doors look a lot like you need to put fundamental change in your life in order to get out of your situation. And we look at that and we go, that exit's too far for me. I'm not doing that. There's something wrong. What do I got to do? I not only do I need to hear the Word of God, I need to obey and follow the Word of God. If I'm going to get out of my trouble, if I'm going to get out of this problem, I need to not just have the light and truth of God, but I need to follow the light and truth of God. You want to fix your countenance, you've got to start following God. Because the reason why you're in your countenance is because you're in trouble. You think about that beautiful psalm that we quote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What does he do? He leads me to green pastures. He leads me to calm, cool water. Stuff that doesn't freak me out. You can't take a sheep up to fast-moving water. Freaks him out. Take me to that slow-moving stuff. That calm water. Well, I don't know. All I got is mud. Well, yeah, that's where when you go for the pastures that are greener, eventually that stuff runs out and all you're left with is the manure. And if you're sorry for that, you got to get out. You got to go where the Lord led you, where it's sustainable, where it's good, where you get the help and the things that you need. Because otherwise, you're going to be in trouble and you're going to be waiting for that sin to deliver you, and sin don't deliver you. Sin only ever digs you in deeper. So lead me out of here. Give me that light and that truth. and let it lead me out of here. Let me lead it out, lead me out of this situation. Let it lead me and bring me out of this mood I'm in, out of this attitude I've got, out of this bitterness that's choking my heart, out of this frustration that's jumbling my mind. Oh, Lord, please. I like what a young boy said one time. The pastor was talking to him. And he was talking about how he'd have bad behavior and he'd have a hard time at school. And the pastor asked him, so what goes on in your head when you make these decisions? And the boy says, I just feels like I've got bees in my brain. I sat there, I read that, I go, oh. Anybody here, you've ever felt like you had bees in your brain? I've absolutely felt that way. Where he's just buzzing and hopping and sometimes it's angry and sometimes it's just foggy and it's a mess. Yeah, I mean, have you ever been there when you've knocked over or somebody's bumped into a hornet's nest? It's chaos, isn't it? So that little boy picked out, so that's a wonderful illustration, boy. That's beautiful. Lord, lead me out of where my brain feels like it's got bees in it. Lord, help me. Lead me out of here. I need your word. I need your truth. I need to get out of this situation. And when we ask that, we need to be prepared to be led out of that situation. To be willing to leave certain things behind. What does he say? Lead me, bring me, but bring me where? Bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. What does he say? Take me to church. I love coming to church. Well, you're the pastor. You don't have to sit for a long sermon. Well, yeah, but I don't get to sit. No. I always love coming to church. It's always the highlight of my week. I'd get that all the time. People say, well, on the weekend, I'm going to do this and do that. And, hey, Matt, you want to come out over here on Sunday? You know what, guys, I'm going to be at church. Well, yeah, but that's just a choice you made. You don't got to do that. You're right. It is a choice I make. And I ain't got to do that. But I am going to do that. I'm absolutely going to do that. Why? Because that's where the Word of God's preached. Amen. That's where my family's getting together. That's where the Holy Spirit's going to meet with us. We're going to sing the songs. We're going to hear the preaching. We're going to hear some encouraging stuff. I want to be there. You're absolutely right. It's my choice. And I'm making it. Well, then you can't sit there and complain that you're not coming. I didn't even want to come, so there. You know, if you don't want to come to what we're doing, I guess you can't complain. I wasn't complaining. I didn't care. Wish you would have put it on Saturday, but that's your business. Have fun. Send pictures, I'll be at church. That ought to be our attitude. Of course I want to go to where the Lord is. We cannot have a good countenance when we are filled with the stuff going on in this world. I wonder how many people are getting up and they're sitting in front of CNN or Fox News or they're sitting in any kind of news program. They're sitting right now getting a belly full of nonsense. How's the rest of that day going to go? They're not going to be in a good mood. That stuff peddles fear so you keep watching. It peddles misinformation so that you'll be entertained. Oh my, that's not going to help you out any. We can't win a good countenance. You can't win it. You can't find it out there in the world. Oh, I've known a lot of happy people, but I'll tell you this. It's a lot easier to get there through the Lord. It's a lot more sustainable to get there through the Lord. Right? I've known a lot of smiley people, and those smiles hit a lot. They hit a lot. I've known a lot of people who laughed a lot. That laughter hid some stuff. But when a child of God is close to their Father, and they're willing to go to the church, and they're willing to sit there among God's people, and they're willing to sit under the preaching of the Word, and they're willing to be where the Spirit is moving, that is an easier way to have a healthy countenance because, again, the Lord is the health of our countenance. What is it that he specifically mentions here? He specifically mentions the altar. Now, what do you need an altar for? Atone for your sins. Now, of course, our altar is the cross. We don't come here and we don't sacrifice lambs on this table. This is for the Lord's Supper. I know a lot of people call it an altar, but there ain't nothing sacrificed here. ain't no sin atoned for here, right? But I'll tell you what, you take me to church, I might hear something, I might repent. You know, I love going to these conferences. I love having our conference. I love going to, you know, traveling around. We're going, we just came back from one this weekend. We're going to one this week. You know what I look forward to in these sermons? Man, preach on something I'm doing wrong. I know that sounds crazy, but Brother Charlie's with me, though. We're crazy. How self-defeating can you be that you want someone to talk about something you ain't doing right? Here's the thing. If I'm fixing something and it ain't working, you know what I do? I find someone who can tell me what I'm doing wrong. Right? I did that this weekend. I saw somebody who had some knowledge that I don't have. I asked them, hey, how do you do this? Oh, yeah, super easy. They drew me a schematic. They said, all right, now when you do that, give me a call. I'll walk you through it. That don't hurt my feelings at all. Does that hurt your feelings? I had to admit to him that I am not perfect at all my knowledge. Didn't hurt me. As a matter of fact, it made me happy. Because that was one less thing I had to fight with, right? So when I sit in a pew and a preacher hammers on my sin, and I go, oh, and conviction hits me, and I repent of it. When I'm told I'm wrong in an area I didn't even consider I might be wrong in, and I fix it before the Lord, and I make it right with God, I'm better. And my countenance shows it. Yeah, you sit there with, I was talking to somebody about some of the sermons over the last weekend, and they said, wow, this one really got me. I've really been struggling with that. I didn't even know I was struggling with it. And I said, I'm going to preach on that. Because sometimes we don't even know we're struggling until somebody comes across and they hit it, and we go, oh, well, that's been the problem the whole time. That's it. I didn't know. You know, and we're laughing and we're smiling and we're crying a little bit about some of these sermons. That's good stuff. It sounds insane, but it's good stuff to have less to carry, isn't it? To have less of a burden and less of a struggle to find solutions where you didn't know you had problems. And all of a sudden things are going a whole lot better and you're a whole lot happier. Oh, take me to church. I'll go, man. Preach at me. Tell me. Open up the word. There is somewhere I ain't right, and I want to get right. Because that's a good thing for your countenance. How is it on earth that someone could walk out of a room where they were just told they were wrong and have a brilliant smile on their face? I think church is one of the very few places. You ever go to your doctor? All right, now listen. You got to cut out salt. You got to cut out sugar. You got to cut out carbs. You got to cut out flavor. As a matter of fact, don't eat. Just go stand open mouth in front of the sun every morning. You know? Aw, doc. All right, listen. I've got 5 more prescriptions for you. Doc. You don't walk out. I've never met anybody walked out of the doctor skipping. I've seen people that hire personal trainers. All right, here's the problem. You're not doing enough of this. You're not doing enough of that. You need to do more of these. I've never seen anybody come out of a workout with a trainer, skipping and happy. Oh man, I found out I was doing everything wrong. Good day. Good day. But I've seen countless Christians walk into church, be told they're wrong, be told how to get right, and I have seen them smile. Not because we're crazy, but because we just found out how to unload one more burden. We just found out how to get things a whole lot happier in our lives. And we're able to repent to a God who is willing to forgive. And he's willing to give us the strength to make those things right. Again, God is the source. God is the health of our countenance. I'll make atonement when I get in there. What else do? We praise him. We praise him. I want to pick on Dennis for a second. I was sitting there and I was working on stuff and I was moving things over here. And I'll get into what I tell Danielle is battle mode. And I'm just doing stuff, you know? And there's nothing going on here, very little going on here, but nothing going on here, right? And I'll look very grumpy because I don't have a beautiful face. It just looks grumpy. So I'm just moving, doing stuff. Not even thinking, just doing stuff. And Dennis comes up and he's singing a hymn. And it pierced through everything. I get distracted. You have to snap me out of it. Pierced through everything I was doing. When we praise God, especially through singing, it has an effect. Danielle's got a good friend. She is not allowed to sing before I preach. I've made it very clear to her because she writes these songs that make you cry. And I need like a half hour to get over one of her songs. Right? She sang one. I wasn't able to be in the room. Danielle sent me a video of it. I haven't watched it yet because I don't have time to cry right now. It's beautiful words. Talking about faith and talking about Christ and His sacrifice. And we get into these hymns and we'll sing these songs. And every now and then again, it'll hit us. You know, we think about that song, one of my favorite hymns on earth. It is well with my soul. I love the first verse, adore the second verse, but that third verse gets me. My sin, oh, the bliss, this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You take me to church, I want to sing. You take me to church, I want to praise Him. Because I'll tell you what, He's worthy of it. And that'll fix your countenance real quick. Oh, but too often we go mechanically through our praise time. Crown Him with many crowns. Amazing grace. And then we're looking at our phones and our shoes. And then we're looking over here. And dinner's going to be 12:30. We're gone. Amazing grace. I like that one song. There's no other word for grace but amazing. Because I know I didn't deserve it. I know I didn't do anything to have it coming to me. And He gave it anyway. Oh, we need to praise Him. You praise God. We talked about that this morning. If I can rejoice in the good times, if I can rejoice in the bad times, I'm going to be all right. Because I'll tell you what, I'm going to fight those fights a whole lot better. Because I've got a more stable mind. I've never met anybody lacking joy that had a stable mind. Everybody who's ever lacked joy always seemed just a little cantankerous and a little difficult to deal with, right? I remember in high school, my band teacher was having a really bad time with something. And I walked up to him and said, "Hey, Mr. Engelbert, how are you?" "Not good. This is going on, Matt. Just leave me alone." I go, "All right, well, then you leave me alone." And I just kept walking on. He goes, "Fine, I will." I go, "Good." I walked over. My buddy asked me, he goes, "What was that about?" I go, "I don't know. I think he's in a bad mood." Never quite seems right. He came up to me later. He apologized. He goes, "Matt, I don't know what that was." He goes, "But I'm real sorry." And I go, "I'm not sorry. That was hilarious." when we lack joy, when we lack focus, when we can't rejoice, of course you're going to have a bad countenance. You know, joy is a thing you got to kick up. Rejoicing is a thing you got to kick up. Being able to praise God is a thing you got to kick up. I mean, I hate to say it, but you got to think about the blessings God has put into your life. It's like putting a quarter in that jukebox of your heart. You got to get things going because it is not a natural thing. It's like a fire. You got to keep feeding it. You got to pay attention to it because I'll tell you what, your sin nature will quench it. Your sinful desires will quench it. The day-to-day passing of time will quench it. You need to keep that fire going. And nothing helps you keep that fire going more than when you are in the house of God singing His praises. At Flat Rock, they had 98 people on Friday night. 98. Flat Rock could only hold about 100. Right, they got those brand new pews. They spaced them out a little bit. It hold about 100. It was everybody was together. We were all sitting together, right? We got to singing and that place got loud. I grew up in that church. I'd never heard it so loud. Started getting one of these, you know, when your eye starts to water a little bit, you know, because I had an eyelash or something in there, you know. Started to water a little bit. And I looked up at the pastor and I could see his eyes too. And I go, "Oh, he's going to cry. Look at him. Look at how, hear all those voices praising God. It does something to your countenance. It does something to it. Man, you want a good countenance, you got to have things that bless your countenance. And those things come from the Lord. Oh, let him be praised in His church. When we seek atonement, when we praise Him, it is then that our countenance can be fixed. When we plug back into God, because if we've lost our countenance, we've lost our connection to God somewhere. We need to plug back into Him. Verse 4, then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. My exceeding joy. I find $5 in my pocket, I have joy. Right? I go over and I go, oh man, I got to get up early and I got to stop and get gas. And I get into the car and I forgot that I filled up last night. I have joy. I'll sit there and I can't remember what it was we did. We ordered something, they gave us extra. Joy! But God is not just my joy. What does that psalm say? My exceeding joy. Not just a little joy, not just a shot of joy, not just a taste of joy. Oh, He is my exceeding joy. He is my mood-changing joy. He is my life-changing joy. He is my whole attitude and outlook on life-changing joy. You got that kind of joy, you're going to be all right. Your countenance will fix itself because you're doing good. Because you're happy. Because you know God. You know your problems are under His control. You know that He's got a fixed interest in you. You can have exceeding joy. Just to have forgiveness. Just to have forgiveness is all the joy on earth you would ever need if you got the proper mindset. I know a lot of people out there, they act like they don't need forgiveness. I ain't doing nothing wrong. You can't tell me what that old book says. All it says is the stuff I'm doing wrong. I ain't doing nothing wrong. Everybody says I'm right. You wait until everybody doesn't have an opinion anymore and you'll wish you listened to God. Because that opinion's going to shift. It's going to change. And you're going to have to shift and change with it. And that little foot stomping gig you did there, you're going to have to stomp your foot on something else now. Just proved how movable you are. Oh, but my exceeding joy will overchange and wrap everything. Well, it will encompass everything in my life. It'll give me exceeding joy. What is it that He says that He would worship God? It'll put me in a worshipful mood. In a worshipful mood. You know what I like? I like listening to good Christian music throughout my day. Puts me in a particular kind of mood. I don't particularly like things that try to take me away from that mood. So I'll sit there, and especially if I'm having a hard time, I'll put that on and I'll listen. And there's music that gets me. There's music that gets me. It shakes me apart. You ever do that? You ever have a song that's your absolute favorite song? And it's like you're getting all emotional about it. You're getting all excited about it. And it's changed your entire attitude. You go to show it to somebody. They're like, oh yeah, it's nice. That's disappointing, isn't it? No, you're supposed to love it. You're supposed to love it. You're supposed to get all choked up about this. I'm going to play it again. Clearly you weren't listening. I like that stuff. When you get into a worshipful mood, again, your countenance will be changed. He refers to God as His hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Dan and I, we went up to Lansing to do a school project he was doing. All he had to do was take a couple pictures. And as I'm looking and trying to see how it is we could get into the Capitol building and what we could do, I wasn't quite settled or sure how to do certain things. So I went up there, and you know what I did? I hoped we could get in. And sure enough, somebody left a security door open. Now, don't worry. Security caught us right off the bat. Very safe there in the Capitol building. And he was very cool. He told us where to go and how to get things situated. I hoped You know, I'm sitting there, and almost everything I do, I've got a small amount of hope that it'll go well. Even down to cooking your omelet, you hope this thing will flip. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But my hope is in the Lord. You know, I'm going to do this, and I hope God honors His word. Guess what? He's going to. I can hope in God. He's a safe one to hope in. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. You know, if I was looking to carry something heavy, you know, I couldn't hope that Gideon would be able to help me lift 200 pounds of something, right? That'd be a bad hope, wouldn't it? You know, but I asked Brother Dwayne to come over, Brother Charlie to come over. No doubt we could lift that. Now, if I didn't say your name, don't get offended. I'm sure you could too. When I hope in God, it's a sure bet. It's a sure hope. Right? I'm calling on somebody who I know I can trust and put my hope in, and it's going to be okay. So what does the psalmist say to himself? Hope in God. Because if you're hoping in the army that you're with, they might fail you. If you're hoping that the money will make you happy, it might fail you. If you're hoping that whatever it is you base your life on, if it's not God, it's going to let you down. But if I hope in God, He will answer. He will hear. He does care. And He will do something. Hope in God. Many of us, we lose our countenance because we're on shaky ground. We're hoping on things that ain't worth hoping in. But when it comes down to the Lord, He always, always comes through. Yes, it's in His own way, but you got to admit, He knows more than you do. He's working it out. He's working it out. All together for good. He says, "For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance." I'm relying on Him. I'm hoping in Him. Now, I want you to do something with me. Go to 42 verse 5. 42 verse 5. Repetition in the Bible is very important. But you got to be careful with repetition, because sometimes repetition will lull you into a sense and you won't see the differences. Verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" It's the same verse. "And why art thou disquieted in me?" Hey, there's a similarity. "Hope thou in God." Hey, I saw that. "For I shall yet praise Him." Hey, it's the same. "For the help of His countenance." Now, wait a minute. We got one verse that talks about His countenance will help me. We got another verse that's saying that He'll help my countenance. Come together. You know, my God ain't worried for a thing. He ain't. Do you see what's happening over there in the Middle East? My God ain't worried. He knows about that. He's got a plan. Lord, do you see the problem I've got? He knows. He's aware of it. He ain't worried. So he told a story one time about going under surgery. And they woke up mid-surgery. And they heard the doctor go, uh-oh. Just before they resedated him and put him down. Like, he woke up just long enough to hear, uh-oh. And then, I'm like, man, I hope that was the anesthesiologist realizing you were waking up and putting you back down. Because otherwise, man, that'd be I'd be terrifying. That would almost be like, there was a joke somebody told this week. An airline pilot getting on the overhead going, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking, just letting you know that everything's fine, no need to worry. Terrifying, isn't it? When we were kids, we were checking out Tennessee Temple College. We were flying in an airplane, hit a patch of turbulence on the way back. And the pilot sounded nervous. turn a scary situation into a worse situation. Because if that pilot got on and was like, hey guys, no worries, it's going to be a little bit of a shake, just button everything down, hang on tight, we're going to get out of this thing, no worries. You'd be like, all right, maybe we'll be okay. But we're sitting there going, hey, listen, everybody, it's very important that you stay in your seats, very important, and it's just very, very, very dangerous situation we're in. But what? You're supposed to be cool. My God's cool. My God's cool. He's calm. He understands the situation. He's working all things together for good. He planned the equation. He's working out in the details. And though I could see some things that would scare me and cause me to drop my countenance, God never drops his countenance. And because God never drops his countenance, and God is always loving towards me and always kind towards me, always willing to teach me and correct me, to chastise me when I need it, because of God's countenance towards me, he can be the health of my countenance. Because I can rely on him. You know, his word always comes through. Always works out. Again, there's some sorrow, there's some misery, there's some pain. There's awful things that happen all around us. I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture, but God works even the most vile and horrific of things together for good. People who go through the most terrible situations, being able to then turn around and look to other people and help them. That ain't right. Why should anybody ever have to go through a situation? Why should more than one person have to go through that? And why should that level of comfort be necessary? It is a sick, awful world. Sin is a terrible thing, and it's done terrible things to people, and it causes terrible things to happen. But I tell you what, through the Lord, we can make those situations better. We could show strength, show a strong countenance. Again, not saying that we're not allowed grief, we're not allowed misery, we're not allowed some sadness. Those things all have their place for a Christian. Those things all have their use. We go through things. And we're, you know, it's expected. But we shouldn't drop our countenance. And I'll even say this, God is the health of our countenance. And I've seen a lot of people go, well, if this is what the Lord wants, this is what will happen. And even though they're hurting, and even though they're having hard times, and even though they've got regrets, that persona, that countenance is strong, and they're happy. So I tell you what, if you're here and you're like me, and you got problems with your countenance, I want to tell you, God is the health of your countenance. And the more plugged in you are to him, the more healthy your countenance will be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for preserving your word so that we can sit here. And even in the matters of our general attitude, we can get help. Lord, it's no good to live life bitter, angry, frustrated, mad. It's no good to let bitterness and sorrow take root and crush our hearts. Lord, help us to have a healthy countenance. Help us to seek your light and your truth. Lord, help us to let it lead us to where we need to be. Lord, help us to repent. Help us to praise. And Lord, help us to rely on you, to have hope in you, so that our countenance can be better. We love you, Lord. We appreciate everything you do for us. For its name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.